And it is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game online at thegamenashville.com, live from SEC Media Days, day number two. Our coverage presented by Pepper Vock Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. And Floyd, we have a lot of stuff here on day two. We still haven't gotten to some of the Vandy stuff. We haven't gotten to Phil Savage yet. We already had Gary Danielson on today. We had Peter Burns on. We've had a loaded show. And the show continues to get loaded, but I have a bone to pick, Mr. GM.
Go for it.
So this morning, you know, and I'm not going to be one of those people that gets on the radio and bashes the local paper, because I do read the local paper. I read the local paper, doesn't mean I always agree with it. Today was one of those instances when I read Joe Rexroad's column.
Don't hold back.
And Joe Rexroad is kind of enough to join us now on the table. And you know what? Just like with Derek Mason, and we'll get to this in a second, just like with Derek Mason earlier today, you know, I am critical of things I feel I need to be critical about. And, Joe, what was the first thing I said to you when I saw you this morning?
Your column sucks.
That was exactly.
Three words.
I thought it was a little bit nicer than that, but, yeah,
no,
pretty
not
much.
Really. That was, I think I just quoted you accurately.
That was the gist of it. I'm not going to say you didn't quote me. And it's because the headline reads, Vols Butch Jones quietly have a shot in the SEC East. And it goes on to say, you know, talks about all the new things that have happened, the people who have left. Here's what it says, quote, it's hard to know what to expect in terms of results, but the overall shape of the roster, combined with reduced expectations and some other new voices on Jones' staff, make the Vols intriguing and capable even in the East, if some doubt it. Then it references Booger McFarland on Braden and Fitz yesterday, saying that the Vols will be abysmal.
That's you a wide say, range right there.
So you believe the Vols have a chance in the East. Quantify that chance for me.
Well, yeah. No, I think it's better than, you know, 5%, 10% chance. I absolutely think they have a chance. And the thing you start with is, how good is the East? I don't think it's very good. I mean, and that's what I tried to get when we argued earlier today. I said, well, then who's winning it for sure? Who do you know is going to win it? I think a lot of people are going to pick Georgia, and most people who don't pick Georgia are going to pick Florida. I look at both those teams. Look, if Jacob Eason makes a big jump, okay. They have great backs. They have good talent on defense. I don't necessarily buy them as a great team. And Florida, you know, they have the same thing as Tennessee. They got a quarterback thing. I don't know if Malik Zaire is going to come in there and do well right off the bat, or if Franks or Del Rio, you know, is going to win the job. There are questions about every team. And honestly, I think that this could be the year that a Kentucky or maybe a little Vanderbilt could make things interesting in the East. I mean, I think the East is very, very mediocre and very unpredictable right now, which to me, with Tennessee's talent, I still think they have a lot. I think they have a chance.
I wholeheartedly agree with what you said about Kentucky and Vandy, and if they were ever going to do it, this would be the year. But I believe that Tennessee's shot, as you put in the article, to win the SEC East is as good as Kentucky or Vandy's. I think their chance to win the East is as good, which to me doesn't really, I mean, do we think Vandy really has a shot to win the East? They got a chance.
Yeah, I think Tennessee has a better chance than both those teams. That's me. Can you jump in here, Floyd, and be a voice of reason?
Yeah, well, I don't know about the reason part. I can be a voice. I would ask you both this question.
Is the
SEC East better this year or last year?
Last year.
Last year?
Yeah.
Last year you had the University of Tennessee as the absolute, almost unanimous favorite. Georgia had no chance. South Carolina had no chance. Florida, we were really worried about. I mean, you go through the list. Kentucky had no chance. Vanderbilt had no chance. All of those teams were out. This year, we're all saying Kentucky's got a chance. Vanderbilt's got a chance. Georgia's got a chance. Florida's got a chance. You go down the list, every team except maybe Tennessee.
Right.
And he's claiming he's in, and you're saying, I mean, I don't think there's any comparison. I think the SEC East is twice as good this year as it was last year.
But see, I think it depends on how you define that. I think it's not as good at the top. There's not a great team. Last year we thought Tennessee was.
And Tennessee should have won 11 ball games last year.
Yeah, so I think you're right that the overall depth, people have risen. But I think with Tennessee's here, everybody's coming up here, and it's all around
but,
here.
But,
to me.
But won't that make it better?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
I mean, nobody ever cared about the Tennessee Kentucky game. Well, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. I mean, nobody cared about maybe a Georgia Kentucky game. Well, this year that game's going to be big. Could be really big.
Yeah, I mean,
could
it's better determine. Because it's all anybody. It's like an average NFL division. You know, it's like, it may not be great, but at least it's competitive and it's going to be compelling every week.
It's the most interesting thing about the SEC is we were talking with Peter Burns earlier today. Here at Media Day, we have barely even talked about the West because we know who's going to win the West.
Right.
And we've barely talked about who's going to win the SEC because we know who's going to win the SEC. So the only thing of intrigue in my mind is the East. Like, even if Arkansas wins 7 games next year, I don't think they should fire Brett Bielema because I think Arkansas is what they are as a program, and they're not going to beat Nick Saban in Alabama.
Now, wait. So what about Derrick Mason and Vanderbilt? Can I jump in on that then?
Okay, what's your question? What's
your
point?
Well, I mean,
if they're just
what they are, then why isn't Vanderbilt what they are if they do that? And why should Derrick Mason ever be in trouble?
Derrick Mason shouldn't. He should get the lifetime contract. 6 wins, you beat Tennessee. You're a Supreme Court justice at Vanderbilt. But I would just think right now, like with Tennessee, I don't see it. We went over this the other day, and it's like, you know, well, if Tennessee doesn't lose ball games, they should win. Well, here's the problem with Tennessee over Butch Jones's tenure. They have always lost ball games they should win. And I expect them to lose ball games. What's going to change? They have worse players than they did last year? Like, the only positive that I'll give Tennessee, and I don't even like buying into this that much, is the new strength coach. That, I think, should matter because they were so hurt last year.
Well, and I think Walt Wells has really made an impact as the O-line coach, both as a recruiter. You just hear a lot of people talk about him. I think Brady Hoke's a great hire. You can get Brady Hoke to be your defensive line coach. He's a great defensive line coach. Yeah, obviously.
And that was your neck of the woods back in the day, kind of.
I mean, you know, Brady Hoke, that's a heck of a – if he's motivated to come in and do the job. I mean, so I think he's actually improved his staff. I think that last year is just hard to judge from this year because by the time we got to that Alabama game, I was watching. It was hard to watch it. I was watching little kids out there getting just mauled. They were so – if you have no chance at the point of attack, and you know this, then everything else suffers so much. And they were so shredded. And I know people hate the injury excuse, but it makes it hard for me to judge them. If Kirkland and Shy Tuttle and all these guys are healthy again this year, I think actually they have a chance to be considerably better on defense. Because they didn't have Reeves Maven most of the year. They didn't have Cam Sutton most of the year. You know, they had one great player who basically carried everything in Derek Barnett. That's a huge loss. But I think offensively, the offensive line looks like a possible strength this year. I like John Kelly. I like Juwan Jennings a lot. You know, we don't know about the quarterback. There's a lot of uncertainty, but I can't look at them and say, forget it, no chance. There's just zero chance. He's recruited well. And you need some of these young guys who haven't played as much to step up and take on bigger roles. But I don't think that's outlandish.
Joe Rexroad from the Tennessean is our guest. His column today in the paper was atrocious. I'm kidding. I just, you know, if you want to quantify it, you know, we asked this yesterday to everybody, and it was, okay, if there's a line in the sand and you've got Georgia and Florida on one side, because usually the SEC East is the haves and the have-nots, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, everybody else. Is Tennessee in 2017 on the side of the line with Florida and Georgia, or are they with Kentucky, Vandy, South Carolina, and Missouri?
I don't buy the other line this year. That's the thing. I think that's kind of what Florida's talking about. I mean, you know, a lot of people have risen up. After listening to Derek Mason today, I'm actually like, I'm starting buying into Vanderbilt more, you know?
It's crazy. I'm the same way.
Let me throw the disclaimer, though, with Derek Mason and Vandy. You know when you put on like a – when you see those like workout shows that come on TV and they're like, hey, consult with your doctor before you start this, you know, yoga program. I want to throw this out with Derek Mason because when he got hired, he was talking about winning SEC East titles at Vandy and how they were going to – you know, James Franklin got it this far and now we're going to get it further. And then they got beat by 30 in the first game against Temple. So I want to throw the disclaimer out there that just because Derek Mason says it at Media Day – doesn't make it so. Now, I still love Derek Mason. He's a nice guy. But I would say I give Vandy as much of a chance to win the East this year as I do Tennessee.
I'd go a little higher with Tennessee. Well, but you know what? I've been to two of these. And Derek Mason this year versus Derek Mason last year, very different to me. He's legitimately confident in this team. He has that team that's built up to juniors and seniors. I think he really is excited about Kyle Schirmer, and you know, you can see why at the end of the year things started to click for him. He's got good skill.
Not in that bowl game.
Not in the bowl game, no doubt. I mean, it's not like it's a straight line, but I think that his approach, it's not like every time he's talked, it's, oh, God, you know, everything's great, we're doing, you know. I feel I sense a lot more confidence from him, and I can see why. I think their back seven on D is pretty good. A lot of juniors and seniors. Now, their D-line, I don't know. I mean, they got to find more people in the trenches. I think that's always Vanderbilt's thing. Do they have enough guys? Do they have enough depth in the trenches? But I really, they're going to be an interesting team.
The part that's sad about the Vanderbilt team the Vanderbilt team this year, seriously, might have won the SEC East last year, in my mind. Because they would have beaten the Kentuckys. They would have beaten, I mean, they already beat South Carolina and Tennessee. But they would have beat, you know, some of these teams that were the Georgia game. They would have won that game.
And
you know?
Here's what hurts Vandy, too, is they get Alabama as their cross rival. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
If what if they had Arkansas on the schedule instead of Alabama? You know, so
that's the problem with both of these teams, actually. Tennessee, too. I mean, obviously,
but
you always
counts.
Have,
they always have.
But, right. But they have LSU, too. You know, I know it's coming in, but still, I mean, you could do better than LSU as another team from the West this year.
Oh,
the
yeah.
schedule doesn't, you know, doesn't. Maybe it's Kentucky.
Floyd, what do you think of Joe's column? Joe Retro from the Tennessean here. What did you think of Joe's column in the Tennessean?
I didn't read it. I have to be honest.
I'll take the guy reading it and calling it atrocious.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, only because I don't, you know. If I would have had the paper, I would have read it. No
See,
doubt.
That's the thing, is we got to get Floyd to get the online subscription as well as the actual subscription
yeah.
to the Tennessean.
I love people who read newspapers, though. I still love the crinkle in my hands.
I'm going to tell you what, there is something that is soothing to me about reading a paper.
I read the paper online every day, so I don't know if there's but the one thing
it's
that I
different.
Won't do, the one thing I don't like, and just in general, is I don't like radio hosts that get on the air and just start bashing the newspaper. Like, I'll disagree with things the newspaper may say or the people that write for the newspaper may say, but I'm not going to get on the air and just bash the newspaper because there's not, I mean, you guys work longer hours than we do, so I don't really sit there and say, oh, well, you know, the newspaper is, you know, say, to me, I think your columns are pretty good. This one, though, that's why I got to disagree
cool.
with you.
That's cool.
Joe
Rexro
from the Tennessean. Joe was there today. I had an interesting question for Derek Mason, and he had an interesting response. We will get to that next. You do not want to miss it. It's Jared and the GM live from SEC Media
Welcome
Days
back
on
to the
ESPN
show.
Don't miss the 2017 Music City Fit Expo. That's Saturday from 10 to 3 at Rocket Town on 4th Avenue South. Meet experts in nutrition and wellness, network with fellow fitness buffs, and learn how you can get more involved in the wellness community only at the 2017 Music City Fit Expo. We have been live here all week. We will continue to bring the great coverage here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, because it's like Floyd said yesterday, what kind of radio station in Nashville would you be if you weren't at SEC Media Days? And the truth is, not a great one.
I'm shocked at the number of people from Nashville here. I mean, just about everybody's here.
There are some that are not. What do you think of the some that are not?
I don't know.
Don't you think they need to be here?
I'm not farming their land. I'm just worried about my land.
So, more importantly, though, you know, Braden and Fitz, yesterday we got all the UT guests because we were on the air when UT was on the air. So today, Vandy went this morning. So Braden and Fitz and 3D, they got all the Vandy guests, including Derek Mason. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to get my questions in when I need to get my questions in. And, of course, the history with me and Derek Mason is, let me throw out my disclaimer, he's the greatest guy you'll ever meet that is in football, period. I love the man. I love Derek Mason. But I've been very hard on his football coaching because at times it has not been very good. And he knows it, and I know it, and whatever. But I said if he could get to 6 wins and beat Tennessee, he would get his lifetime appointment, his Supreme Court justice status as Vanderbilt's football coach, and he did just that. So today I asked my question to Derek Mason. You've got to hear his response. Go ahead and play it.
Jared Stillman, ESPN Radio Nashville. Coach, you talk about what's on the other side and having built depth. What is the ceiling in your mind for Vanderbilt football?
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way.
For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day man, to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, man, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly who we are, and then we'll go from there. But I do know this. This team's got something special. Man, behind it. I feel the energy. I understand who they are, and they understand where they're at. So to you, Jared, hopefully, man, you get behind the movement, okay, because we need you. We want you. Come check us out on West End.
That's got to be my favorite answer of any press conference of all time.
I don't – you are wetting yourself over this response. I'm
Here's
amazed.
Why. Here's why. Because it was like Derek Mason used that first part of that answer – and basically to say, hey, Jared, you were hard on me, and I won, and in your face. When he was like, you know, there's two kind of people. I'm going to let you guess which one you are. I loved it. I thought it was hysterical. The other thing that I thought was just I thought was so funny was when he was like, you got to get behind the movement. Here's my question. What movement do I need to get behind? Do I need to get behind the, hey, you know, Vandy's not a three-win football team movement. I'm behind that movement. Do I need to get behind the Vandy's going to win the national championship movement? I'm not sure I'm totally there yet. But I heard that, you know, because you knew I was going to ask the question. I was sitting right next to you, so I, you know, put my hand up. They bring me the microphone. And so I asked the question, and it was like he was so happy to be able to kind of give me a in-your-face type of answer, and I loved it. Can we get that first part of his answer when he goes over the two different types of people?
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way. For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day man, to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, man, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly.
Okay, go ahead and stop that right there. He never listed the two types of people.
What do you mean?
Well, he said, there's two types of people, and I'm going to list them so that you know which one you are, talking to me. And he didn't put out two types of people.
Limited and limitless.
Is that what he said?
Yes, limited and limitless.
Oh, well, I'm limitless. I mean, come on. You know, but I loved it. And then the get behind the movement, come on out to West End and check us out. I went to the fake spring game that wasn't a spring game. Remember how they didn't have a spring game? They had the Saturday showcase or whatever.
Scrimmage. Yeah.
And I went to that. So you can't say, well, you need to come on out and check us out. I went to the fake spring game. The one that I got in trouble for well, I didn't get in trouble, but the Vandy blogs got mad at me for criticizing their lack of spring game on the SEC network. So, you know what? I love Derek Mason. I actually saw him in the hallway afterwards, and we like bro hugged it out, and he totally had this, I gotcha. But you know what? He still got coach. Still got a coach, or don't lose to Missouri anymore. If we lose to Missouri again, we're going to have the same talks that we had before. But I was glad Derek was able to get that in.
Yeah, you're past those talks. He's already signed the extension. He's in good shape.
Oh, he's got the lifetime contract now.
He's in good shape. Yeah, he's done. He's in charge.
So here's a question for the callers, since we have a little bit of a guest break here for a second. At 615-737-1025, do I need to get behind Derek Mason's movement? Do I need to get behind the movement a little bit? Are you behind the movement, Floyd?
Oh, I'm impressed.
Do you think I'm behind the movement?
I don't know where you are. I got to be honest. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what. He is confident. I mean, and sometimes that's really, really good. Sometimes it's bad. I think I feel good about it because I think it's sincere confidence. He's not trying to be cocky. He's not trying to be. I think he feels an energy from this team. I think he feels good about that energy. I think he sees the best team that they've had, and I think he doesn't know where it's going to end.
Floyd, I want you, Ian, go ahead and play the clip one more time where he asks me to get behind the movement for Vanderbilt football, if we can, just so that people have that as a reference, a frame of mind.
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way. For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, man, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly who we are, and then we'll go from there. But I do know this. This team's got something special. And behind it. I feel the energy. I understand who they are, and they understand where they're at. So to you, Jared, hopefully, man, you get behind the movement, okay, because we need you. We want you. Come check us out on West End.
Okay, Floyd, I want you to give him a play-by-play as to what I'm doing right now. As we are here at SEC Media Days, I'm standing on my chair here on Radio Row. Am I going to get behind the movement? Here's the movement I'm going to get behind. Are you ready? Are you ready, Floyd?
I guess.
Here's the movement I'm getting
on. What's going to happen?
This is the movement for Vanderbilt fans. I give Vandy a better shot to win the SEC East this year than Tennessee. That's as far as I'll go. I think Vandy is better than Tennessee. And a lot of that has to do with coaching and quarterback and everything else. But for right now, as I sit here today, or I guess stand here on this chair at SEC Media Days, I am willing to tell people that I think Vandy is better than Tennessee. Floyd, your thoughts?
I have no thoughts.
You have no thoughts?
I know. Yeah, I mean, I think we're a ways away yet.
That's what I'm saying. He wants me to get behind the movement. That's the movement I'm going to get behind.
All right.
Now to your phones. Donnie is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling live out at SEC Media Days. What's up, Donnie?
Jared, listen, buddy, I love your show, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a private chauffeur. I'm coming to pick you up. I don't want you to drive home because obviously you're not sane. Listen, I am a Tennessee dyed-in-the-wool fan, but we got maybe a 20% chance to win it. Vandy's got no chance. Unless everybody else in the SEC East decides to forfeit the game against Vanderbilt, they got no shot.
Hey, look, Donnie, who won last time Vanderbilt played Tennessee?
Do what?
Who won last time Vanderbilt played Tennessee?
Okay, that's one game. Hey, a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while.
Who
but
won
look at
the last SEC game Tennessee played? Who did they play and who did they beat? Or who did they lose to in the last SEC game Tennessee played?
Vandy won. I give them credit. They outplayed us. No problem. But they are not going to win the East. That ain't happening every week. So you can put all that stuff to bed. That ain't going to work.
I didn't say they were going to win the East. I said they got a better shot than UT. And I stand by that. And, Donnie, even though I don't need to get drug tested, I will say this. You can pick me up whenever you like and take me around as a chauffeur. I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for your call, Donnie.
Thanks, Donnie.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for the call. I'm standing by my guns. I give Vandy a better shot at winning the East than Tennessee. Floyd, do you? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is our number, 615-737-1025. Our coverage at SEC Media Days presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and our transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet, Jared the GM, ESPN 1025, the game.
You know, there is no ceiling, Jared. It's good to see you, by the way. For me, what it comes back to is this. There's only two types of people in this world, limited and limitless, and you got to figure out which one you are. You know, man, we work extremely hard every day to make our mark and to figure out exactly where we're going. And you earn those every Saturday. So, man, we'll start where we're at. You know, right now, man, we have no victories. We have no losses. Okay, man, we line up versus MTSU, and we'll figure out exactly who we are, and then we'll go from there. But I do know this. This team's got something special. And behind it. I feel the energy. I understand who they are, and they understand where they're at. So to you, Jared, hopefully, man, you get behind the movement, okay, because we need you. We want you. Come check us out on West End.
That was swagged out Derek Mason at SEC Media today. You talk about a guy peacocking at the podium. Derek Mason was peacocking. He was out there. He was the man today. Now, compare that with Butch Jones, Floyd, yesterday, who was talking about not having a disappointing season, yet not accomplishing. Was it a disappointing season? Was it not? It was so very confusing. So, to that extent, where are you on the movement for Vanderbilt? Because he asked me to get behind the movement. Here's my movement. I think Vandy's got a better shot to win the East this year than Tennessee. That's my movement. Floyd, where are you on the movement?
I don't know if I can get there yet. I mean, we're going to have to evaluate a little bit more. Even though I do think Vandy is going to be better. I mean, I think Vandy has gotten better for the last 3 years. Now, where does six wins get him? Does that get him to seven, or does that get him to nine? And I think, you know, whichever one of those, wherever it goes, is going to be the difference. I see the SEC East as stronger than you and other people do. I mean, I see it stronger because it's going to be so much more competitive. If everything stays the same, I don't know that anybody's going to run away with it. And I think because of that, you're going to see, you know, when it's all said and done, you're going to see a Kentucky or a Vanderbilt or a whoever it is that may end up in the upper echelon. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win the SEC East, but I think you may see one of those teams win 8 or 9 games. I mean, I think I could very well see that.
Plus, I like the fact that the Vanderbilt, after they play Alabama, Florida, and Alabama, Florida, Georgia, that's going to be a tough 3 weeks for Vandy. After that, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Kentucky, Missouri, and Tennessee in the SEC. That's how you get hot. You beat Ole Miss, you beat South Carolina, you beat Kentucky, you beat Missouri, you beat Tennessee. Yeah, Vanderbilt's capable of beating all of those teams.
Although Ole Miss is at Ole Miss, and South Carolina is at South Carolina.
Yeah, but I feel like Ole Miss is just kind of, with everything they got going on, I just don't, I think the well has run dry in Mississippi for Ole Miss, and the house is burning down, and there's nothing Ole Miss can do. Let's go to your phones here on this SEC Media Day. Let's go to Adam, who is up next and has been waiting patiently. What's up, Adam?
Hey, I got a few things, man. Number one, Derek Mason hates you. He has been thinking about you, dude. I promise you, the way it sounded, it was like he wanted to punch you in the nose. But he's like, instead, I'll just go ahead and, you know, put it out there to the world that I hate this guy and let him know that he can come on our bandwagon, but we don't need him. What he really needs to do is
First of all, he said he does need me, but I don't think Derek Mason hates me. I like Derek Mason. Now, I don't think he's the greatest football coach in the world. I think he's a terrific guy, and I have never, Floyd, you know this, I've never backed down from that.
What he needs you to do is he needs you to buy a ticket because they are not going to sell a lot this year, I don't think. They look like, and I want to get to a YouTube point, but they look like whenever I watch them, a high school football team play, and just the way they run their ops and everything feels, they feel undersized just because I guess they're not getting the recruits they should, but it looks like watching a high school team. But my initial question about the Volunteers is I watched a lot of football, a lot of college football last year, and every Vols game to me felt like that, you know, they were in games that they shouldn't be in, and they were losing games they should have easily blown out, and they took away every star that was making plays. So if I'm asking you as the radio show host that I always go to, what should I get excited about with that offense and that defense losing 3 starters in the draft early? Then how do you fire me up? Because I don't really know what to look forward to.
Floyd, how do you get excited? Appreciate your call, Adam. How do you get excited for UT football this year?
UT?
Yes.
I think you have to get excited over the quarterback that you're not sure who that's going to be yet. I think, you know, they'll have some receivers. They're going to have some stuff. I think they'll be competitive. I don't think, in my mind, that, you know, they're going to be able to compete with Georgia or Florida. Now, that's just me. And that could easily change. I think there may be other teams like you're excited about Vandy. I mean,
I think Kentucky's probably better than Vandy.
I just started to say, if I have a team that I'm going to jump out there with and say they're going to be better than Tennessee, it would be Kentucky for me. Now, and that's not taking anything away from Vandy, but I think Kentucky is more complete. They've got the quarterback, and they've, you know, have a little bit more confidence or swagger or whatever it is. I feel like they're in a better place, even though Vandy and Derek Mason are in a great place right now.
Yeah, they're in a great place because they beat UT.
Sure, that's part of it.
I mean, that's what it's all about here.
And I think, they're able to forget all the other teams in the SEC. I think they can go out to practice and they can see a quarterback. They can see a running back that may be one of the top X number of running backs in the history of the SEC. They can see receivers. They can see the defense that's returning, I think you said, seven guys. So, they can see all those things, and I think that's reason to get excited. I really do.
Let's go to Kyle. Kyle, who's up next on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Kyle? Kyle. Okay, I got nothing from Kyle. Let's go to David, who's up next here on Jared and the GM. What's up, David?
Hey, man, let's talk UT football.
Okay.
Hey, I don't want you to cut me off now. Let me talk, okay?
You've got a reputation for that,
David,
I think.
Go ahead.
Okay, listen. You don't know squat about Butch Jones and Tennessee football, Jerry. If you had any idea what that man took over when he got there, I mean, Derek Dooley, one recruiting year, did not sign one offensive lineman.
That was 5 years ago.
It don't make any difference, Jerry. That puts
yes, it
you
does.
Behind.
Yes,
no,
it does. We never look at a president, right? We never look at a president and say, hey, look at what this president took over. When Taft was president, when William Henry Harrison was president, we never do that. That was 5 years ago, David.
I don't care what happened in 1920, Jerry.
Well, that's my. You're talking about 5 years ago in college football.
I'm
is the same as 1920
ago,
in America.
The SEC is a line of scrimmage league. When you fall behind on the line of scrimmage on defense and offense, it's hard to win. You can't win. And to blame it all on Butch, where Butch Jones has got this program right now is far above.
David, was line of scrimmage where they lost to South Carolina and Vandy last year?
Absolutely, is where they lost the line of scrimmage because of the injuries on the defensive side of the ball late in the year. That's why Alabama is so good. When you get to the 8th, 9th, 10th game of the season, SEC, they've got so many 4 and 5 stars, they just keep throwing them out there. That's why they continuously win. And Tennessee's just not there yet. They're close. They're just not there in a depth. And
I disagree. I don't think they're close.
Well, when you make fun of Butch of talking about his competitiveness during practice, he's talking about we have got during practice we don't have enough bodies to get better. What he's telling you is the truth, but he's getting there. And if these people would just be patient, now I'll say this about Butch: there's probably been a few coaching decisions that he's made in games that I definitely disagree with, but I think the guy is learning that on the job and how to win in this conference.
Why would you say he's learning to win in the conference when last year he after beating Florida and Georgia lost to Vandy?
I agree with that, but I'm telling you the reason we lost to Vanderbilt and the reason
I appreciate your call, David. I let you go for like almost 3 minutes, which is like maybe a record for a caller, but I'm not sure I've ever disagreed with a call more than literally everything he just said.
Well, I mean, this is the UT argument we hear all the time. I mean,
the Dooley argument.
It's Dooley, and, they're building a backup, and, he didn't recruit any offensive linemen 1 year, and I understand that. And to a lot of people, that's not an excuse. That's a fact. And that's the way, it should be. And I can understand that part, too. The hard part about the SEC and the hard part for people to realize is we have seen people take over programs in bad shape and in 2 years win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it from outstanding coaches. And that's why when you try to compare apples to apples, it gets very, very difficult because people want to compare, you know, apples to oranges. And you're saying, well, you know what? The Alabama program was in great shape when Nick took it over. Was it really? You know, I would disagree. You know, what kind of shape was Florida when Urban Meyer took it over? You know, I mean, so you look at those and you say, okay, you know, maybe Tennessee is going to take 5 or 6 or 7 years to get back where the that's all well and good.
Hard for me to hear the argument when you start off by saying that I don't know squat about Butch Jones when I've been telling you all for years Butch Jones was not going to be able to do this with UT. I told you he's not going to return UT to greatness. That's just not what he does. He's just not good enough. And to me, I think I got out in front of that, the Butch Jones thing. I mean, I was telling you that 2-3 years ago. Because I remember when he choked away a Sugar Bowl at Cincinnati, just like he choked one away last year. So I think that last caller is the type of guy who needs to just go to VolQuest.com.
Well, he is a true Vol fan. I mean, he's bleeding orange.
And if you want, VolQuest.com has those articles for you where they'll tell you everything you want to hear. There was an article on VolQuest.com today about how great the new strength coach is going to be for UT. So go there, because on this show, and this is why this show is so popular, we tell the truth. That's just the reality of the situation. So Jared and the GM live from SEC Media Days, where our coverage is presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and our transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back to the show, Jared and the GM. By the way, we've got tons of people to get to today. Phil Savage, Bill Hancock, the executive director of the college football playoff, will be on next hour. We will have just tons of people. We'll have Nick Saban on tomorrow, Mark Stoops on tomorrow. So we will have tons of stuff for you as we're here at SEC Media Days with our coverage being presented by Pepper Boxing, Volunteer Hose and Gasket, and our transportation provided by Walker Chevrolet. And now would be a good time, Floyd, for me to remind the people out there about our friends over at Walker Chevrolet on Carruthers in Franklin, how great they are. So I am sitting here. Florida has just gone off the podium, Jim McElwain, the coach. And I heard it, you know, a little bit of the clips, et cetera, of what he said and other things. And, you know, what it really hit me, though, about Florida is I consider Florida to be one of the top two teams in the East this year, with Georgia as the other. And yet, other than thinking their quarterback play is questionable, I don't really know anything about Florida's football team.
Right.
I'm sure they have talent because it's Florida. And Jim McElwain seems to be a pretty good coach. Doesn't seem to be a great coach, but a pretty good coach. They won the East the last 2 years. They've got Antonio Callaway, the great wide receiver. But I don't really know a whole lot about Florida's football team. And I don't know what that means. Like, it's tough for me to give an opinion on Florida when I don't know really a whole lot about their football team. And I don't know how I feel about Florida coming into 2017. How do you feel about Florida coming into 2017?
You know, to be honest, I think I've probably felt similar to that over the last couple of years. And the truth is, when it's all said and done, and somebody, I can't remember who it was, I heard talking about it today. He said the biggest problem with Florida is that they win so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing pretty about the way they win. They don't line up and necessarily do one thing to beat you, but they do a bunch of things and they figure out a way to win. And when it's all said and done, they end up with, you know, one more point than you have, and you know, that's the game. So, I mean, I'm, to be honest, going to expect more of the same.
My problem with Florida is when they play good teams, they don't seem to, you know, Florida State has had their way with them the last couple of years. And I worry like crazy about Florida's first game this year against Michigan, because I just think Michigan's significantly better. So I'm sitting there thinking about Florida, and I want to get excited. And I know Florida's got talent. You cannot tell me that the Florida Gators do not have talent. They always have players.
Always have talent.
But it just seems like when they get into these games against good teams, they don't play very well.
Well, I think that's because they're maybe not the quality team that you expect.
Especially
because
at the most important
they've won,
position.
Then they've won the SEC East the last couple of years without a quarterback. So we know they know how to play without a quarterback. And I think that's what's unique, again, because we're saying, hey, they're able to beat a lot of teams. And who's the quarterback again? And who's the, you know, who's their running back again? And who's, it's hard to tell. So, I mean, obviously they're doing a good job coaching because, again, it's not like the roster is a who's who of top 10 picks. And yet there's not, you know, I'm not sure that there's anybody there that you would, as you did a few minutes ago, stand on a chair for. But when it's all said and done, they end up winning, you know, 9, 10, 11 games and taking the SEC's crown.
Yeah, I won't stand on a chair for Florida. I still think they're better than Vanderbilt, though. I mean,
I agree.
You know, I wanted to ask the question, are you a believer in Florida? You know, because am I a believer in Florida? No, I'm not a believer in Florida, but do I think Florida could win the East? Yeah, I think Florida could win the East.
Sure.
So then wouldn't that kind of make me a believer in Florida? I don't know what that – it's like Florida has higher standards to believe in them. Like if you think Kentucky can win the East, you're a believer in Kentucky. If you think Vanderbilt can win the East, then you're a believer in Vanderbilt. I think Florida can win the East. I'm just not a believer in Florida because I, you know, hold Florida to a higher standard, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's part – but to me, and I'm not disagreeing with what you said, that brings me back to the there's another team that can win the East. Now, how many teams have we talked about over the last hour that can win the East?
Everybody but Missouri, basically.
Everybody but Missouri. So, there you've got it. And that's why I say I think the East may end up being a lot more fun to watch than people are giving it credit for because it's going to go back and forth. It's going to be, you know, who is and who isn't and how well you're going to do and all those kinds of things.
And we're joined now here at the desk here at SEC Media Days, joined by Duke Dawson. What's up, man? From Florida?
What's going on with you?
Okay, so we were just talking. Are we believers in Florida? That was kind of our discussion that we were having there. So my guess is you're probably a believer in Florida.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why should we be believers in Florida this year?
I feel like we're becoming a complete team, not just everybody focusing on defense, but offense as well. Those guys are starting to understand what it takes to be a high-caliber team, and that's what we all talks about, and that's what something that we have in mind.
What has been kind of the big thing that is kind of keeping Florida the last couple of years from that next gear? We know you guys can win the SEC East, compete with really good teams, but what's kind of keeping Florida away from that level that, I mean, you know as well as anyone, that's probably why you went to Florida,
yeah.
That Florida is capable of being?
I can say being more consistent. Not going to point fingers at offense, but on the defensive side as well. What can we do to put those guys in better situations, and what can we do to help our team improve?
Duke Dawson is our guest here on Jared and the GM.
Duke, you have, in the past, Florida has always been one of those places that you say, okay, they've got this guy at quarterback, they've got this guy at a running back, they've got this receiver, this corner,
yeah.
Whoever it may be. And as a matter of fact, last year I had a couple corners.
Yeah.
But as you look at it now, you're going to move. Will you remain as a nickel corner on the inside, or are you going to move out, or are you going to play both?
I'm moving to the boundary, and right now my focus is on just the boundary, not playing inside this year.
And that, are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I played corner back in high school. That was my primary position, and when I got to Florida, they seen the versatility, so that's when I started moving around.
Tell me, and you've been through spring ball, you've been through all that. Tell me about, let's say, Callaway.
Oh, yeah. That's my boy right there.
Me
and Callaway compete every day. It don't matter what we're doing, what drill we're doing. Matter of fact, yesterday, me and him was last night in the indoor doing one-on-ones and stuff. It's just that competitiveness we have in each other. the fight we have going against each other, and that's something that's very important.
Now, he's looking like he's going to be a pretty good pro receiver.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course, no doubt.
So does that mean that you're jumping up on the ladder?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course. I'm not a guy that praises myself a lot. I feel like I can improve my game a lot. And going against Callaway, we go back and forth. I mean, it's an all-day fight. No matter what we're doing.
Duke Dawson is our guest here on Jared and the GM, a senior defensive back. How sour is the taste in your mouth with the loss the way it happened against Tennessee last year?
It's real bad. I mean, we came out 21-3, and we got too complacent. And I feel like as a team, we can't get complacent anymore. Myself individually, I feel like I laid back more, which gave up big plays. And that's something that I hinder myself about, but also I'm kind of not happy, but that I did that, to know what it takes to win a game and not take off plays.
And now, what does that mean about the Tennessee game this year?
I mean, with anybody, I'm gonna give my best every play that I can, no matter what it is.
Now, this guy right here to my right, Floyd Reese, is a former Super Bowl general manager with the Titans, an executive with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So you're a senior. If you could ask the GM any question about the NFL or the next level or football in general, and I'm putting you on the spot, but what would you ask a former Super Bowl GM?
What does it take to be a great guy on the field and off the field?
Very good. Now, this is a good one. I don't think I've ever heard that one before. That's a good one. I think, you know, however you define teammate, whatever that in your mind means, I think that's what you need to strive to be. And I think if you can accomplish that part of it, you will be the guy in the locker room that people want to hang with, the guy out of the locker room people want to hang with. You know, all of those attributes, generally speaking, in our business, and I coached, I was in the NFL for 40 years. I mean, you know, when you say this guy is a great teammate, it's hard to compliment a guy more than that. So,
what would an example for you of a good teammate be? Like a player that you coached or you were a GM or that would be a good example for a guy like Duke to kind of hear that and you know, go with. I'm putting both you guys on the spot.
I'm trying to think back. I mean, we've really had a ton of guys. I would think a guy like Chris Sanders, who's a receiver that played for us way back. But, I mean, guys like that, guys like a Steve McNair, Eddie George, I mean,
Brady.
All of those guys, Brady, great teammate. I think there's a number of guys that you can emulate. All you need to do is walk in your Hall of Fame. There's a whole list. You go through all
those
guys.
Well, and Kevin Carter's a former Gator, and you've always talked to the Titans about.
I love Kevin Carter. So, I mean, there's a ton of good ones in your Hall of Fame.
Duke Dawson hanging out with us. Duke, we appreciate you stopping by. Best of luck to the Gators this year, and we appreciate it here at SEC Media Days. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.